Where's Lee Breers? Here he is with a drop goal. Lee Breers.
Lyman's through one. Lyman's through two. Wow. Gets the try.
Darrell Clark runs to the left to win it. Darrell Clark reaches and scores.
Welcome back. I'm Carl Fitzpatrick, and this is another edition of the Rewired podcast. In this episode, we enjoy a look back at the 2010 Challenge Cup final. And I'm delighted to say, to help me dissect the game and more, we've got two excellent Warrington Wolves servants, Chris Hicks and Vinny Anderson. Good day, fellas. How are we doing?
Hey, Carl. Hey, good, thanks.
Thanks for joining us. Chris, we'll start with you. Looking tremendously well, mate, like Benjamin Button. Unbelievable! What's going on? You look good. You look fit enough to play.
Just the Aussie sun, mate. It's doing wonders for me.
Superb. So, Chris, what are you doing with yourselves these days?
I work for a height access company, so I'm abseiling and fixing the sortings and doing glazing of high rises and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a bit exciting.
Vinny, you're joining us from just across the water. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing yourself these days?
Yep, sure. I'm coaching a village team, just a local team, just outside of Carcassonne in France, and studying at uni, doing stuff on the side, so keeping busy.
What are you studying?
Philosophy and political science.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been a few years because I'm only doing it part-time over the internet with a university in New Zealand, but I'm getting there.
Well, the beard and hat, mate, look very philosophical, so it certainly fits your image.
Cheers.
Cool. Right, okay, guys, so moving on. Vinny, you joined the club in 2007 from our near rival St. Helens for a transfer fee of £50,000. How did that come about? Was you looking for a move away from St. Helens?
Yeah, I really enjoyed my time at St. Helens, and I was enjoying my time at St. Helens, but I was looking for a new challenge. I guess because at Saints, I joined a team that was already really successful and doing well, and I just sort of slotted in. And, you know, the opportunity at Warrington was, you know, the chance to start something, not from scratch, but, you know, to build up a team, which was I thought was quite interesting. And as well as having the chance to play with Louis, because that was on the table as well for him to come a year after me, so...
All right, so you may have disclosed a little bit of insider knowledge there. So that deal got done 12 months in advance there with Louis Anderson. Are all the Warriors out watching this?
Allegedly.
Great stuff. Ixter, you joined later in 2008, signing alongside Michael Monaghan. How did that come about? Was it always the intention you'd come over as a pair, or was it
by accident? Yeah, I'm not sure. I was sort of, NRL standards, sort of getting... to the back end of my career, really coming to sort of 30. And, I was actually playing in a good side, but I didn't realise how good it was going. And we ended up making the grand final later that year. But I signed with Warrington at the start of that season. Me and Mick weren't ever a package deal or anything like that. I just sort of thought it was a good time.
So you regretted coming over? Is that
what you're saying? No, I loved it. I loved it. But, mate, it was, it was just a, decision that I thought the timing was right, my age and that. So went over and, had a good 3 years.
Did you sign before Michael then?
No, I don't think so. I think I signed after him from memory.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Vinny, you touched on it then that the club was changing. You just look at some of the players that joined the club during this period. Obviously yourselves, Matt King, Adrian Morley, Louis Anderson, that your brother just touched on. Could you sense that something was changing at the club? Was we building towards something special?
Yeah, 100%. I think the year I signed, Moz and Paul Johnson signed as well. So we all met together with Paul Cullen, who was the coach at the time, and sat down and chatted about the direction of the club and what he expected from us and from the team in the coming season and seasons ahead.
So also in 2009 was probably also a seminal moment for the organisation. We finished 10th in the league, but we tasted our first first silver that we've had for many years. We win the Challenge Cup trophy, which both you players played in. However, in 2009, Tony Smith joins midway through. What did Tony bring to the organisation, Chris?
Yeah, I think he sort of shook it up a lot when he come in. He's different in his ways and all that, TS, but he knows his footy and I think he was really good for the club and a lot of successful years under him. I really enjoyed him as a coach.
You say, Chris, though, that he shook it up. How did he shake it up? Can you give some examples?
Oh, not really. It's sort of hard to explain. He was just different in his way compared to what I think everyone else was used to getting coached, I suppose. So, he did things his own way, and I think we sort of reacted pretty well to it.
Vinny, would you agree with that it changed things and mixed things up?
Yeah, for sure. Tony's, we'll probably touch on it later when we talk about preparing for the final, but he was very into the psychology of things. What motivated you personally and, you know, trying to motivate you or give you goals and incentives and things like that. And he put a lot of onus on the players as well. Like, we'd do video and he'd always be asking, what do you guys think, you know, should we play there or there this week? Or where are the opposition's weak points? And he'd make you come up with the answers and devise the game plan, which was something new for a lot of the players.
So you touch on goals there. So moving on to 2010, was it spoken about that we wanted to go back-to-back winners, or did you play it down as a playing group, or from the off, was that one of the main targets, was to retain the Challenge Cup trophy?
I don't remember it being mentioned early in the season or anything, but I do know when we got further along in the rounds of the Challenge Cup that it became a definite thing to do. You know, it's hard enough to win one, never mind go back-to-back, so it was definitely a motivating goal for me.
Do you recall much chat about it, Ixie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I know me personally, yeah, like I was really pumped to try and go back-to-back, having never won a trophy or whatever, and then you know, having the honour to defend it, try and win it again, I was really fired up to do it. But I think everyone had that, and the further we got, you could sort of sense that it was going to happen. And I don't know, it was sort of weird how we were playing Leeds, and they were, you know, one of the best teams in the world, really. And we just were. I felt that we were really confident going into that game.
I wanted to touch on that, Chris. So our Super League form going into the game was a little bit patchy. We won two and lost two. Did you say you perked that and just put you had supreme confidence in this competition? That's quite difficult to do.
Yeah, I don't know how it was sort of like that, because we did seem to struggle for consistency a lot during the year, I think. But I think that year we come third or something like that. Like, yeah, we had a good season, but unfortunately end up dying out in the semis in straight sets. But but for the final, I don't know. I just felt that we were just confident. I don't know whether it was because we were there the year before, and you know, we handled it really well the year before as well. Like, we were you felt like we weren't going to get beaten when we were playing that game, and. And when we went out, and I think, you know, just early in the 2010 game when, you know, Richie Mathers was saving tries and all that type of stuff, you just felt that their whole team were, you know, we're all on the same page and we're going to make it really hard for them.
Vinny, you're nodding along there. Did you have a lot of confidence going into this game despite our Super League form being a little bit patchy?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, everyone that's played in it sort of knows the Challenge Cup's different to the Super League. It's a different competition. You know, there's a lot of history there and that. And all the games are one-off games. You know, it's elimination. So right from the earliest round. So, you know, all you've got to do is get up for that one game to move into the next round or to, you know, and get up for a final to win the final. It's not like Super League where you have to stay consistent through the whole season to get a decent playoff sort of standing. These are just, you know, you turn up and anyone can beat anyone on the day. So that's why, for me, our form going in didn't really matter. we only had to turn it on for that one game.
You've touched on Tony's psychological approach, and I just want to touch on something here. Is so the team run is the last training session before the game, and on this occasion it was at Wembley, and I've seen Tony utilise this tactic on numerous occasions in big games. That he asked his players to line up in the tunnel and then visualise walking out to prepare for the occasion. Is that something, Chris, is that something that he did on this occasion? And if so, what kind of impact did it have?
Yeah, I think he did. I can't really remember too much, but leading into the game and whatnot, but I'm pretty sure he did do something like that. And it does sound like that's what Tony did, do stuff like that all the time. So
it didn't have that much of an impact on you then?
No, oh, maybe it did at the time. I'm not sure.
Vinny, do you recall it?
Yeah, I do. I know the year before, 2009, for that final, he asked us on the game day to line up in the tunnel and all of us to turn and face the Huddersfield players. So that's what we did that year. And then the next year, after that captain's run, he did have us line up in the tunnel and just sort of visualise going out onto the field and what was going to happen during the game.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. So going back to that, so do you all turn in sync to the Huddersfield players?
I don't know.
How long are you staring at them for?
I think it was just a way of visualising the guy opposite you and saying to yourself you're going to get on top of him in that game, and if everyone did that individually, would come out on top as a team.
Who faced Earl Crabtree?
Monas.
It was. Ixie, did you do that? Do you recall it?
No, I can't really remember, man. Honestly, I can't remember it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's the first time I've heard about that. Obviously, it paid off. We got on top of them. Before we go into the game, sort of chat on team selection. There was much discussion, debate around who was going to be in the halves, who was going to be on the bench for the Ucker role. Richie Myler missed out. So Richie made a big money move to Warrington from Salford in the off-season. Tony went for Breers, Monaghan in the halves, Clark at nine, and Haim on the bench. Chris, did you expect that selection, or did it come a bit of a surprise that Richie missed out?
Yeah, I think it did come as a bit of a surprise because I think Richie was playing up until, like, in the halves up until that game.
Yes, it was.
But I think Tony was just trying to put as many of the best players he could in the team because, you know, obviously it had Clarkie and Mickey Heim as well, and I don't know. It must have been a tough decision, and I did feel for young Richie, but it is horrible when players miss out on teams like in big games like that. But that's sort of the nature of the beast, isn't it?
Vinny, you dropped to the bench.
Yeah,
you're starting at 13 the week before, and prior to that, Benny Harrison starts at loose forward in your place. How did you feel about that?
Yeah, sweet. I was, I've always been a big believer in, you know, that not just the 17 are all equally important, but the whole squad, you know, I mean, to do anything special in the game, you got to have a whole, you know, the whole squad's got to buy in, not just the 17, definitely not just the starting 13. And I think, over the years, the bench has become sort of an even more important role. It's really quite tactical in that. So, It didn't bother me at all, man. I was just happy to be in the team. And just touching on Richie Myler, I went and spoke to him. When Tony announced the team, I think we had a training in that. And I spoke to Tony just quickly, and I went and took Richie out onto the field on his own and had a chat with him and that, and just sort of explained that we've all been through it, you know, like, or probably most of us, you know. And I have, you know, there's been times where I've been selected and I've wanted to play in that, and it sucks, but at the end of the day, you have to put on a brave face and be there for the boys so that they can concentrate on the game instead of feeling sorry for you. So, and he was great. Richie was great. You know, I think it's only made him stronger as a player. He went on to have a great career in that. So, and still is playing well.
That's a great touch, Vinny. So moving on to the game. So we kick off just under 14 minutes. We strike first. Breezy kicks to the left channel.
Atkins plucks out the and we go 4 points up.
Five tackles gone, one to come. Back to Breers again. Tries a flat kick across. Atkins! Oh, simple as that! Almost unopposed when he takes the catch. And Ryan Atkins, whose family's here today supporting Leeds, has just scored for Warrington.
Chris, you score a similar try later on. Is this something that we'd worked on, the kick to the corners? Did we see that as a major weakness in Leeds' defence, defusing the high kick?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a weakness of theirs, but it's probably a strength of ours more so. I know Ryan was always a good target in the middle, not sort of kicking wide out to the wings, just dropping it a bit short for him, and he used to be real good at flying through and grabbing the ball, and he did his easy. So, a lot of the players in around him are sort of a bit shorter, so it works out all right. That always worked for us. And Breezy always had a great kicking game, so he could pretty much put it on the spot when he wanted to. So, it was sort of more our strength more than attacking their weaknesses, I think.
Yeah, because we had a lot of aerial threat out wide. We had yourselves, obviously, Matt King, Ryan Atkins. Not so much Chris Riley, though, I think.
Yeah, he's only short little ringer, but he always did his best in the air, though.
So, Chris, on 17 minutes, you grab your first try. A lovely cut-out pass from Lee Breers to Matt King, who turns you back inside and you force your way over.
Spun away, back to Monaghan. Here comes Breers. Leeds are being stretched here. Long ball to Hicks. That's a super pass. Back on the inside again. Here comes Hicks to score.
Great finish.
Well, it took some finishing. But I tell you, in the middle of that, Lee Breers' pass from left to right was absolutely sensational to stretch that Leeds defence.
So clinical, Dave. I tell you what, that's great play.
A couple of things. First of all, is it fair to say that Kingy may have struggled for performing early part of his Warrington career?
Yeah, I think it might have taken him a bit of time to adjust, and then he probably, a lot of people sort of got on his back, and he'd probably admit to anyone that he sort of didn't handle it the right way or whatever. But geez, he come back and spent a lot of good years at Warrington. I think it was hard for him at first. You know, it's not easy picking up and leaving and going another side of the world to play, and especially if it takes that time to adjust. But I think he made a fair fist of it when he got on a run.
Yeah, when he hit his form, it was some play. What was it like to play outside, Chris?
Yeah, good. He's a big body, and he's a pretty confident bloke to play around. So, he was I didn't play a lot with Kingy on my edge, but when we did play together, I was really comfortable. And he's always a good teammate to have.
So Westwood is unable to convert again, and this is something I want to discuss. So in 2010, we had five different goal kickers. Breers, Bridge, Hicks, Myler and Westwood. It appears was very inconsistent in this area. Vinny, was this a concern during the season, do you recall?
I don't remember. I really don't remember at all. But they're all good goal kickers.
Hicksy, what was your strike rate like?
Hicksy's good.
I think it was... I was kicking there for a while, but then I got a stress fracture in my pelvis, and that sort of ruled me out of kicking for a while. And I didn't really like kicking after that because it sort of did put a lot of pressure on that area. So I sort of handed it over. And I think Benny ended up doing pretty well out of it. I remember him practicing a fair bit, but I didn't think he was that bad.
He didn't do too bad. And it's funny, actually, because when I went through the records, I think apart from Myler, because you've touched on Nurexy, I think all of you had a good go at it. I think Bridgie May started off, and then Breers went for a number of games, then yourself stood in, and then Benny Westwood stood in. So it's not like a player taking a couple of shots here and a couple of shots there. You had real good runs with it, but it appears that when they lost a bit of form, the kicking tee was taken off and someone else would pick it up. I thought it was quite interesting that we didn't have a recognised or a dedicated goal kicker throughout the season.
Yeah, I think Bridgie was a handy goal kicker too, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was the one that started off, and He was hitting them pretty well. Then Breezy seemed to take over, and then yourself had a go, and then I'd say Benny Westwood finished.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ryan Atkins scores just before half time. A strong break up the middle.
Here comes Atkins. Oh, Atkins is through! Ryan Atkins is in for his second try. He just pushed away Ian Kirk as though he wasn't there. And the Leeds lad is breaking Leeds hearts.
And we go in 14-0 up. Do you recall what was said at half-time and what the theme would have been?
I have no recollection. No recollection. But I think most of the time, Tony was pretty calm in the changing rooms. Just sort of focused about, you know, talked about what we could do better and what we needed to do better in the second half and that sort of thing. But I imagine he would have been pretty chill, really. Yeah. I think Spider was asking for more ball. But
is that true, Exer?
You keep feeding me.
So, boys, if we want to win, you're going to have to get me more ball. Something like that.
Oh, gee.
Wasn't wrong, though.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. Vinny, you come on before half-time. You sat on the bench. What's it like being sat on a bench for a big game? Are you getting a bit twitchy or are you relaxed?
Yeah, 100%. I didn't play too many games off the bench in my career, so it was always a bit uncomfortable for me. You do the warm-up and you get all pumped up and you're in the change rooms and everyone's yelling, jumping around and that, and then you got to go sit down. Like, it's a bit weird. So I don't think Tony kept me on the bench very long in that game, though, so I was glad to get yeah. straight on, yeah.
Yeah. Did you know in advance when you were going on, Vinny?
I don't think so. But the good thing about our pack is we had, like, Benny Harrison could play back row, second row prop. Benny Westwood, same. Me and Louis, the same. So we all sort of rotated a bit. So that made the changes easy.
Chris, I was going to ask you, what was it like coming off the bench? But you probably never was on the bench, was you?
Yeah, no, I can't remember that. I can't remember doing it. It'd be horrible, though. Yeah, like Vinny said, having to warm up and sit down and watch the game. I'd struggle doing that.
So, Chris, you score your second try on 61 minutes, an extraordinary finish, extraordinary. Jumping over the top of Ryan Hall and execute an unbelievable play.
Spun away to Breers, who's thinking about the kick to the corner. Hall's in the in-goal this time. Oh, superb! Superb by Hicks! Make no doubt about that. The referee points the finger and from nowhere, Chris Hicks comes up with a miracle leap. To glory.
That was a magnificent take. I think everyone felt Lee Breers had put too much on that, except for one man. He didn't give up on it. What the finish!
Bro, young supporters out there, what is a technique that you utilise, Neil? What do you need to focus on? Because you make it look so easy, but it's unbelievably difficult.
Yeah, I suppose the main thing you got to do is just. You just got to watch the ball and time your leap. Because if any of that gets out of sync, well, it's just not going to work. But, keep your eye on the ball and watch it into your hands and sort of try and have soft hands if you can. Otherwise, they'll bounce out.
Now you've scored two, be honest. How much are you thinking about the hat trick?
Well, at the time, I was pretty pumped when I scored that one. I thought, because like at half time, I know we're leading 14-0 and all that, but Leeds were always dangerous. But when I scored that, I thought, and then especially when Benny kicked the goal and we're up 20-0, I thought we've won it. You know, I couldn't see them coming back from there. It was sort of, yeah, that was a special feeling. Like that was a real big moment. So, mate, it was, yeah, like I still get chills thinking about it now. Like that there was probably the happiest or the biggest moment in my career, I reckon.
I was going to ask that actually to yourself, Vinny. Was this a real seminal moment in the game that although there's 19 minutes left, that with 20 points ahead, you can't see Leeds coming back at this stage?
Yeah, I mean, like Hixie just touched on, Leeds, they were full of quality players. So, you know, you didn't want to write them off. And 20 minutes is still a lot of game time, but it definitely felt like a crucial moment in the game, you know, for sure. You know, 14-0 is not comfortable at all. You go to 20, okay, now you're talking three converted tries, four and one unconverted to get ahead. So that's a lot of work for them to do. So I think it was a really crucial try.
Leeds do find the crop.
The defense was just like so good. Like yeah. So it was sort of like there was you felt that we weren't going to give up anything easy, and like everything was on that day, and it was just it was something special to play in that game.
Leeds finally crossed the whitewash through Lee Smith and Sinfield at the extras. Fellas, when you think about this Leeds team from that era, and you both kind of touched on it there, who did you hate playing against the most within their ranks?
Probably Ryan Bailey.
Who?
Ryan Bailey. He's just a grub.
That's going to make a great soundbite. Vinny?
You know what, I was good friends with the Kiwi boys in the team. I didn't like any of the other players. But I respected them for, obviously they're a, you know, arguably the greatest sort of team in the Super League era, and they won, you know, loads of trophies, but I just didn't like them. I don't know what it is, but
what was it about him, Vin, that you didn't like? Is it just because he was so successful, or
They had a couple of grubs, and they seemed to have a little bit of arrogance, you know, which, hey, good on them. They, you know, they deserved it. But yeah, it's just something about them rubbed me the wrong way. That's one team I didn't like.
Great stuff. Chris, you grab your hat trick.
And again it goes. Mathers gets it away. Westwood, all he has to do is pass. Here comes Hicks. Hicks on the inside. Hicks for a hat trick. He scores. Hicks has scored a hat-trick. Only the third time ever on Wembley's hallowed turf that a player is a hat-trick hero. Chris Hicks with a try that absolutely, certainly sends it Warrington's way now. Leeds have beaten Warrington are winners.
I think he has to be the man of the match. Lance Dawn has got to go to this guy. The three tries he scored have been absolutely phenomenal, the finishing.
Super build-up play. I think there's three offloads that leads up in the build-up play, and you go over to be only the sixth player in the history of the Challenge Cup to score a hat-trick in a final. What was it like to score three tries in the Challenge Cup final?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I didn't really go into the game thinking, oh, geez, I'd love to get a hat trick or whatever. I'd be happy enough scoring one. But yeah, when we got three, and like it was definitely the nail in the coffin too. Like, well, we couldn't lose and all that. It's just such a good feeling. And it's something that lives with me forever. It's a good thing. And like just winning back-to-back trophies was just, it was unreal.
Can I add a little story here about Spiders' try-scoring confidence?
What? Absolutely, you can.
When Tony Smith first came to Warrington, we did a training session at Wilderspool. I might get this wrong, Spider. You can correct me if I get it wrong, but we're doing like an up-and-down drill. We had to go on the ground every 10 metres and something like that, and you do it for 2 minutes without stopping, and Spider was at the back with Paul Rauhihi. So, you know, Paul was 35 or 36 or something, I can't remember how old he was at the time, and he plays prop, and you got Spider back there with him, and Tony's just walking alongside Spider, like looking at him, shaking his head, and after the training, we're in a little circle, and Tony's like, mate, are you serious? Been at the back with an old prop? And Spider said, Spider doesn't do fitness. Spider scores tries.
I remember that.
You don't remember that?
Okay.
But there you go. Big game.
I can remember one of the fitness drills, though. Sport, hey. I can't remember that.
It's true though, mate. It's true though, isn't it? Do you mean for every season you was at Warrington, you finished top try scorer. You're the second player to score back-to-back hat tricks alongside Brian Bevan. So he was right.
Yeah, if Benny Westwood passed me the ball in one game, I would have been three hat tricks in a row, but he didn't pass it.
anyway. Fellas, on 75 minutes, Louis Anderson goes over and completes it right, 30 points to 6.
Morley. Mathers. It's and it goes. Louis Anderson. He's in. He's in. Celebrations commence. They're enjoying their moment in the sunshine now. Wanting to know that for the second year in succession, they are going to lift the Challenge Cup trophy.
Vinny, what was it like playing with your brother, and particularly in a big game?
Yeah, it was really cool, man. I mean, that was a great opportunity for us, you know, and to play at the same club again. We'd already played together at the New Zealand Warriors, and to do it again at Warrington was really cool. And to play in big games like that together is something definitely very special. Yeah, for sure. He's a great player. He had a great career at Warrington. Really enjoyed his time there.
Yeah, I concur with that. Fellas, Breezy wins the Lance Todd. He gets 34 of the 40 votes. What was Lee like to play with?
Yeah, Briz is a freak of a talent. Like, he's just he's just really skillful with the ball in his hands. It was great playing outside him because he wasn't afraid to fire a long ball out. Like, great for an outside back like myself, because I played with other halves that, yeah, didn't let the ball go quite as much, and it's sort of nowhere near as enjoyable. But when you're an outside back and you've got a half that can rocket a ball like Breezy or put kicks over to the corners and stuff like that, the way he could was it was awesome for me. I love playing with him.
Vinny, did you use defending for him?
No, I just what Spider was saying, when it came to like vision and passing and kicking and that, man, Breezy was unmatched. He was really great vision, and then the ability to get the ball to where the space was, whether that was by a pass or with a kick. But you know, he's if you ask Breezy, he was a great defender. Great defender. The axe.
I was gonna say, self-proclaimed the axe man. Superb. So the final whistle goals, we've done it back-to-back cup winners, 30 points to 6.
And there goes the hooter. And for the second year in succession, it is Warrington Arms that are raised aloft. For so long, they waited for this trophy to be taken back to their town. But now they're making a habit of keeping a hold of it.
Fellas, what was it like post-game? What was it like in the changing rooms?
You know, I think we went into the changing rooms for a little bit, and then we all came back out onto the field and had a beer.
Yeah, that was cool doing that. It was all chaos in the dressing sheds for a while. People tossing beers everywhere and all that type of stuff, which was all good fun. But my favourite part was when we all just sort of went back out no shoes, just in your footy shorts, just laying on the grass and having a few beers with the boys you just won the Challenge Cup with. That was my favourite part. The whole
just taking a few quiet minutes together and that, just to soak it in and appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it was I loved how we did that.
Excellent.
And then Simon got his black card out.
Yeah, that was also pretty cool.
What was the aftermatch party like? Do you recall the aftermatch party?
It was pretty loose, I think. But I can't remember a lot of it. But it was a good night. But the worst part about it was you had to pull up, I think, the next day. So just when you're starting to get wound up.
Brilliant.
I think we played London the week after that.
Yes, we did.
London. So, Yeah. That was fun going back down there.
You should have stayed down for the full week.
You know what, man? The club did such an awesome job those two finals I played in. I mean, as players, we really didn't have to focus on anything except the game. The club took care of, you know, the tickets and the fam, made sure our families were okay, and transport and hotels, all that sort of stuff, because that can be a big stress for players. You know, it's a big weekend, and you've got a lot of people trying to get down there and be a part of it, you know, your family and all that sort of stuff and friends. So the club took care of all that for us. So we were just able to focus on the game.
Yeah, it's a great point, that actually, Vinny, that, I mean, the actual logistics and the operation, it's, you know what I mean, and I've been on the front line of that. It is a bit of a nightmare, but there can be a lot of distractions for players on big games. As you mentioned, tickets, all the friends come out of the woodwork, might have family flying over, asking for tickets. And obviously there's a limited amount of tickets that you get allocated. It is quite actually difficult to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the club took care of all of that for us. So that was awesome. And we went down early, you know, a few days before the game and that, and just relaxed and prepared. I mean, by that point, I mean, everyone's fit, you know, both teams are fit. Everyone does the same plays and all that sort of stuff. It just comes down to who can prepare mentally, I think, for that sort of stuff, you know, and the club, you know, it gave us every opportunity to get that right.
Yeah, for sure.
Superb. Well, fellas, thanks for that and an outstanding insight. Thank you very much. Stay safe.
Cheers, John.
Done. Excellent, that, fellas. Sensational.
Yeah. You know what? I've never watched that game, and I only watched the highlights because you sent me through a link. So I guess I'll just post them to YouTube or something. I just watched them yesterday, the highlights.
Yeah. That was fun, mate. It was unreal to watch it.
Yeah.
But
you know what, man? We were never going to lose that game.
No.
We knew it. Before the game, we knew it. Yeah.
I felt that, man. That's just the way it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, in the game, even the year before, it was the same when we were playing. You never felt like we were going to lose the game.